October 15, 2022 is the Watch for Pedro show.
We'll be right back.
Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. Started off with John Coltrane doing Manifestation. And then we had Thunder Mother with Loud and Free. And because of those Estonian software people with their Skype invention, I got with me from Thunder Mother, Gernik. Welcome aboard, Gernika. Yeah. And we're making a connect between San Pedro, California and Tacoma, Washington, both a port town. And I guess mm-hmm. you're on tour?
Yes, we are on a major tour right now. We're at the Tacoma Dome, and we're going to open for the Scorpions tonight, which we've been doing since the end of August. So we only have 3 more shows left with these legends.
I remember I had maybe it was their second album, the one with Robot Man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're aware of that one. It's a little bit ago, but it was really good. Can't remember the name of the album, but I think it was their second one. I know they went through a bunch of guitar players and stuff.
Yeah.
Incredible cats. Now, I want to get into your journey through music. So please bring your earliest musical memories. That's back in Sweden, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm born and raised in Sweden. I guess my earliest memories of music is singing in a church choir, and then also watching my dad, who played drums in like cover bands and stuff like that. So that's like the earliest memories I have of music.
And was it the big town, Stockholm?
No, I'm actually from Lund. I'm from the south.
Okay.
And in this,
in this pad you grew up in, was there a, what town do I know in the south? Malmo?
Yeah, it's 10 minutes from Malmo.
Oh, okay. So, lucky guess.
Yeah.
Lucky guess for why. Because I've traveled around a little bit, 40 years of touring. But in the pad you grew up, then there was musical instruments. Your pop's drum set?
Yeah, that's true. Well, he set it up for us, me and my sister, but we actually never took the time to learn it.
But did you ever jump on it? Did you ever have fun just jumping on it and trying it out?
I mean, yeah, we played around with it, of course. And we had also these specific drums from, like, they're similar to congas. We had that kind of stuff as well.
Percussion.
So, yeah, we could play, percussion stuff. So we could, play around quite a lot. But I guess singing was always just more fun for me.
Well, can I ask you about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was in school.
Yeah.
Well, I did I was in the choir in church. So I did that. And then I had vocal lessons. We didn't really have a choir in school. But I did start my own band pretty early, early teen years.
You know, a lot of old rock and roll was people learned to sing in church. You know, there's a big tradition of that. Can I ask you the first record you bought with your own money?
Honestly, I think it was probably a single, because in the 90s,
that's okay.
When I was a kid, it was a lot of singles. It's a great question, but it's so hard for me to remember, because I feel like it was always these absolute albums, these greatest hits type things.
right.
So it was probably one of those, but I remember being gifted the first Spice Girls record, which was huge for both me and my sister.
Well, I asked that question because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. So I'm curious, what would you spend
exactly,
money on?
That's what I mean. I didn't have money to buy records. That came later on. So that's why I remember getting gifted a CD, or for birthdays and stuff. It was always these greatest hits albums, or, singles that were trendy at the time. A lot of Eurodisco probably, and whatever was cool and pop, pop stuff from the 90s.
Sure. And the first gig you went and saw?
That's also true. Really, really hard for me, because I'm thinking it's probably my dad.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Cover band.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the first memories I have of concerts.
Sure.
Yeah.
It makes good sense. Now, you said you started bands early.
Yeah.
Because, I usually ask people, after school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, the basement band, the bedroom band, the garage band.
Yeah, well, we, they have this, well, in Sweden, they have a lot of things where they really, the government really tries to, help people from all walks of, whatever, working class. Everyone should be allowed to, try some culture stuff, either music or whatever. There's a lot of things pushing, young people to try all different cultural, you know, things. And obviously, I've been very interested in music my whole life, and they started this thing where they were trying to get, I think we were probably like 13 or something, but it, like trying to get more girls involved. And so we started our first like all girl band around that age.
When you say we.
Yeah, it's like an after school program type thing.
And when you say we, is that you and your sister?
Yeah, well, actually, I have 1 younger sister. She's 1 year younger than me, and we are best friends to this day. And then we have 2 older sisters, and they've always done music stuff, too. But, yeah, me and my sister Cecilia were part of this group of girls that we all, like, played basketball or handball together, and then we also did music. Like, we started this band together and did these, like, little local, you know, shows and stuff like that.
Let me ask you about the material. Was it original? Were you writing songs yet?
I mean, I did actually write my, like, first song, and we're in a talent show when I was, like, in first grade. Maybe I was in second grade, but I was really young, and it was a very musical theater-type piece.
Okay.
But, yeah, with the girls, we tried to do stuff, but... Obviously, being so new to everything, it was very, like, copycat vibe.
Yeah.
Like, we had our own song that basically sounded like Knocking on Heaven's Door. You know what I mean? Like, but we were trying. Like, we're trying to figure out. We had, like, one song that was a little more rock. Then we had one that had, like, a reggae beat. So we were, like, all over the place. But just trying to be creative and finding our way musically.
Yeah. I mean, music's music. Why not try everything? Did this band have a name?
Oh, yeah. This band, we named it Banda Sept because we were 7 girls. So Sept is 7 in French. And then we were really inspired by this Brazilian band called Banda Eva. It's like samba. She's a big artist in Brazil. So we just thought, oh, that would be so cool. Because, I mean, I've grown up in a home where there's a lot of Latin music. My parents are from Uruguay. So my dad played samba and candomba, this other one from Uruguay. So it's I think it's always been such a like mix of everything. And they're also like the... You know, like how people were divided, like either they listened to the Rolling Stones or the Beatles. So I grew up in a Beatles home. Like, so it's been like all over the place. And then there were these bands from, I don't know if they're from Argentina or Uruguay, but like that did the Beatles vibe music, but in Spanish. So it's been a quite an interesting mix of music. But yeah, growing up and then. So when we decided for a band name, it obviously was inspired by different things.
Right. Now, do you remember, was it just practice band or did you guys do gigs?
We did do some gigs. We did a few like...
Tell me about the first one.
I guess you... The first show?
Yeah. Can you remember?
I feel like my memory is the worst. Because I don't know if I could say I struggle, but I do struggle quite a bit with, like, nerves and things like that. But I'm always, like, I always do everything. Like, I always, like, regardless however scared I am, I always, like, make sure that I just do it and then I'll deal with anxiety later.
That's great.
And I think that's kind of how it's been. Like, when I was younger, like, I really wanted to be on stage and I wanted to do these things, but... I don't remember my first show with the band, but I do remember performing at this, like, talent thing we had in 9th grade, where I did, with backing tracks, I sung Vogue, you know, the Madonna song?
Sure, absolutely. Strike a pose, I remember seeing.
I did Wannabe with Spice Girls, because we thought it was so cool to dress up as our old idols, you know, when we were, like, we were too old to do it, but we were still doing it because it was, like, a retro thing to do at the time.
And which one did you do?
I remember performing there, yeah.
What member of the band were you?
I was Mel. I was Mel. Scary Spice.
Oh, Scary. Okay.
I always liked the, yeah. I got to be Scary Spice. I loved the, yeah. I loved the Mel B's. Mel B and Mel C. Sure. Scary and Sporty were my favorites when I was a kid. So yeah, it was really fun to get to dress up as one of my like childhood idols.
Yeah. Every gig is Halloween. Look, I want to play Watch Out from Thunder Mother.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
Do it.
Thank you.
Pete Rochelle at Chunky Music start off with Thunder Mother doing Watch Out, and then Iriamu with Lift from Will Hamilton's big piece about being a middle-aged musician. I think the third chapter. Then L1011, going to have them on the show in a couple weeks. No One Died This Time. That's a title. Exclamation point, too. Oh. And after that was brand new from Death Tape Super Bass. Had Alex on the show a couple weeks ago. Infinity Leg 42. And him with Graham doing Limbo, dedicated to Raymond Scott. And they'd call this project the Polavokes. Drowse after that, brand new Mystery Part 2. Myself, Scott Amendola, Vinny Golia, and Henry Kaiser doing a tribute to Pharoah Sanders that we lost day after the solstice, day after John Coltrane's birthday. That's a trip. And yeah, thank you, Pharoah. And finally, Thunder Mother with Black and Gold, which is a trip, I got to tell you, Gernica, because Black and Gold, you know, us three-minute men, we come from San Pedro High School, year of 1976, and those are our class colors, our school's colors. Awesome. Yeah, and in fact, the theme song for you at the football game, it's black, it's called the Black and Gold. That's the color of the uniforms.
That's so cool.
Yeah, what a coincidence. And what a trip. What a trip. And then you get there. So to continue on with your journey.
Yeah.
How long does this band, was to say, last, this SEPA, Banda SEPA?
Banda SEPA, it lasted, I mean, it was probably just, like, junior high. It's, like, maybe, like, 2 years. Like, it wasn't that, you know, I guess we rehearsed, like, on the weekends, and then we did a few shows, but it was not that intense. And then when we got to high school, we kind of tried to keep it going, but I was probably one of the only people that really wanted to pursue music, and everyone else was like, it's just a hobby, you know. And for me, in high school, I started to realize more and more, like, because at the time, I also played basketball, and I thought for a millisecond that I was going to, because I'm very competitive, so whatever I start doing, I really want to try to be the best at, but obviously, I didn't have the skills to be a basketball pro, nor the height, that didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always had music, and music always was a bigger part of my life.
But you had to find people.
I just in high school decided.
Huh? You had to find people like you, though, because the people from the foreign band, I done that, did that. They lost interest, right?
Yeah, all of them. I mean, they wanted to just do it for fun. And for me, in high school, I realized, or I was kind of being honest with myself and came to the realization that I really wanted to pursue music, or, you know, no matter what.
Yeah.
So once I was done with high school, I guess, I then applied for Musicians Institute in Hollywood.
Wow.
So I did, like, so I went to college there for a vocal performance.
People, we're talking Hollywood, California, not Hollywood, Sweden.
Oh, no, there is no Hollywood, Sweden. Oh, maybe there is. Is there a Hollywood? No, here. I mean, there's a, in Sweden, there's
I just
no
wanted
Hollywood.
To clear it up like you came over
talking
here.
Talking about L.A.
Yeah, right.
Had
you been to a?
That's when I really got into singing rock.
Yeah, had you ever been
like
to a foreign? Have you been to a foreign country before that?
Oh yeah. We've traveled quite a lot. Like, we went on a lot of like car trips throughout Europe when I was younger, and I've been to Uruguay.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Going to America.
Yeah. Okay, and the weather's a little bit different in Hollywood, California.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's like this all the time, right?
It's awesome.
Yeah, kind of spoiled. I came from Virginia when I was a boy, and I could not believe that it's like this almost all the time. I mean, there's some negatives, too, but, man, the weather definitely is pretty calm. So you went to this school in Hollywood to learn how rock singing.
No, I mean, it was for singing. But at that time, I was really trying to figure out my voice and my place in music. being that I like more or less every genre, I realized pretty quickly I'm no Whitney Houston and I'm not Mariah Carey either, which I feel like everyone that I went to school with wanted to be or tried to sound like. Because at that same time, I was hanging out with a lot of people that were just listening to 80s rock, like sleaze rock. I was dating a sleaze rocker, you know, like all these things. So through that, I then, like, really, you know, I guess I took the opportunity to try a genre that that I hadn't done before that much. And I found like the band Skid Row, for example, Sebastian Bach's vocals really stuck out to me. And I really appreciated that they were a little heavier than, let's say, Poison and all these other bands that I thought was, you know, I really liked the music, but it's like, it wasn't as tough. I personally like when it's a little more, has a more metal vibe to it sometimes, which I thought that Skid Row had comparison to a few other of these like heavy metal bands from the 80s. And I also felt like, oh my God, my voice, I don't know, I felt like I had like similarities to Sebastian Bach's voice, or not like we sound the same, but the way he sings, like his technique and how he uses his voice. So I tried to sing it and I was like, wow, this really works for me. Because what I missed telling you is that in Sweden, I have a naturally raspy voice. So a lot of people, or I had teachers that they basically, it was always a problem because I could never sing anything completely clean. And people, they're not, I think today maybe more teachers are prepared to handle a voice like that. But at that time, they sent me to like a speech therapist and all these things where they didn't take advantage of that uniqueness that the raspiness gives me. Instead, they try to like, oh, try to teach me how to speak correctly on my vocal cords and blah, 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 so I wouldn't be hoarse and sound the way I do. Whereas at MI, I had teachers that knew about extreme vocals and could really help me evolve and develop what I already had naturally.
Gertica, I'm trying to think of Rod Stewart with a very clear voice. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a character.
I don't know. It's just like they want to put you in musical theater or they want to make you sing pop, but I can never do like any high stuff without some raspiness being part of it. Which I love. I love my voice. I'm super happy about it. But it's been a journey to find acceptance and find your place and find, like, that's why I love rock so much, because I really felt at home in the genre and, like, the way I can use my voice. And every day that I was learning more and more and singing more and more different rock things, how I would just develop so much and be like, wow, like, you know, like when you're kind of impressing yourself, like, whoa, did I just do that scream? Did I just do that? Like, why is that happening? And being able to do all these things without damaging your voice and being hoarse for days after, like all these little things that have really taken me to where I am today. And I still keep on like surprising myself with things. And I really like that rock allows me to be so, I guess, free in my expression to, you know, have that little grit and raspiness and all these things that I personally really appreciate in other singers too.
I think you'd call it character. I'm into it.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you know, why not just have one person sing all the songs like some robot? Look, we're at the end of the first hour, yeah. October 15, 2022. Dishwap Peter's special guest, Gurika from Thunder Mother. Hold tight for hour two. October 15, 2022 is the second hour of the Watch for Peter show.
Strike, thunderbolt city tonight. Just one other. we all deny death. Good night, Bruno. Bettelheim. Some say listen, some say do not. You got to look sharp, you got to feel sharp, you got to be sharp with Vox Pop, just like your mom.
Your way sucks. Like your mom.
Mike. Monitor still.
Anybody got something cold to drink?
Thank you.
Stop the hook.
off from Pete Rose Show. Start off the second hour with Thunder Mother doing Wasted. And then Vox Pops. This is from 1980. This is from 40 years ago. Live on New Wave Theater. Just Like Your Mom. That's Don Bowles off the drums from the Germs. He's actually the singer. The Screamers after that. First band I saw at the Whiskey that could, you know, punk band. No guitars, right? Trippy. Kay's brother Paul on the Fender Rhodes for Fuzz Tone. Vertigo. But this is live at the Mabuhay Gardens in 1978. Controllers after that. The original neutron bomb. Yeah. Weirdos had a neutron bomb at the same time. They both had neutron bombs. But they put original in the controller one here. I remember getting that with the skulls and the eyes. A three-song 7-inch, which was a trip, you know, coming from arena rock. But by the way, speaking of the Whiskey, I saw Judas Priest's first tour, man. And Ral Halford, you want to talk about a voice that'd knock you down? Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gary, the bass player for Blondie, Gary Valentine, a little pop trio. It was a trippy gig. But, yeah, Ral Halford. Okay, Rubber O' Cement, they got the fucking titles here. Anthocyan Petit. Fuck these titles they got. Patoon, Bido, Whirl. I mean, they're incredibly strange. Glam, Flag, Gellers, Gelting, whatever the fuck. Sorry for fucking that. And then we had Floating Problems, I can pronounce that, yeah, with Spelter Cast, Curse of Lorno with Start a War. Please no. And then Thunder Mother with Stratosphere. That's way up there.
Oh.
So look, during this time at Music Institute up in Hollywood, learning singing and finding your voice, literally, not just a euphemism, people, did you get into any bands? Like playing any bands during this period?
Oh, yeah, I did. I started my own all-girl band, called Inglorious. I did like a solo thing too, where I took some songwriting classes. I put on my, like, at one time it was actually all Swedish guys playing for me, and I did my own solo thing, obviously with just my name, Guernica.
No.
But Inglorious was the band that I started, and then by the end of my time in LA, I did a quick little thing with Jeff Young, who he played in Megadeth for like a microsecond.
Now, these were Swedish guys in the band Guernica. These were guys who came to Hollywood to learn music?
Yeah, they were all part of, like, they all went to MI, different programs.
Can I ask you about your name, Guernica? Because there's this Picasso painting named after a Basque town.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm named after that.
Okay.
The meaning of that.
Okay.
Basically, the anti-war, you know, the anti-war painting. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I just thought it was maybe a coincidence. Thank you for verifying that. So anyway, so you did gigs up in Hollywood and stuff.
I did. We played, like, on the rocks, you know, on the Key Clubs, the small spot there.
Sure. It used to be, in the old days, that was called Gazzari's. There was an old guy named Bill Gazzari, and his little motto when he did commercials on the radio, only foxy guys play my club. So Minutemen never got to play there. But I did get to play there when it was called Key Club and stuff later. I think the Bass Player magazine people gave me an award there. And how was your first gigs in Hollywood?
They were fun. I mean, we played a little bit like all over the place. We did a few like for school when we had graduations. We did the Wiltern, House of Blues.
Wow. Okay.
Like pretty like bigger stages, but it was just like you got to play like one song. It was really fun. I just remember it being feeling like pretty tough, you know, because you're in school. You're not like you're kind of like. In between, you know, like you're not, I don't know, you don't have the security of neither your friends or family around you. So it's like a lot of, I don't know, kind of winging it and hoping for the best. And
of course.
I feel like Hollywood is a place where you should just go when you're when you already have something prepared and ready. Like, starting off in Hollywood just seems so much more tough.
Yeah, trippy.
It's tough anywhere, but it's like there it just seems like nobody cares because everyone is doing something.
Oh, yeah, of course. And it used to be even where, you know, less and less actually is happening now in Hollywood. I hardly ever play there. And it used to be the only place. You know, they tore down the House of Blues and put up condos.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, terrible.
I know. It's really sad. Yeah.
I'm on a play. Well, that's the only thing that changes. The only thing that stays the same is change. Look, I'm going to play Thunder Mother. Try with love.
Down for, day by day, I fool myself, I'm a loser. Where the kids look me and me, let's go.
Scott for Pivo Show. Started that chunk of music off with Try With Love from Thunder Mother. Then RO4 along with KSD6700 doing Blauer Anzio. Then Ryoji Ikeda with Ultra Ronix 01. Then Erie Wanda. Those guys are from Tokyo, but collaborating with a German cat. And then Erie Wanda out of Amsterdam with Sail to the Silver Sun. Rob Moss and Skin Tight, he just moved from Portland, Oregon to Boston. Brand new record, Rock and Roll Rouse. Rouse is the name of a supermarket chain here. Maybe it's about that. Ray Shin with Do the Teletype. And finally, Thunder Mother, I Don't Know You. So let's hear about you and Thunder Mother. I mean, how did this happen? How did you get together with those ladies?
Well, when I moved back to Sweden, I started another band called Royal Ruckus. And through that band, I got to know Filippa and her fiancé, which both play in different bands and have their own little blues projects. Because my band was more like a Led Zeppelin. It was like more that kind of vibe. So we ended up getting to know each other. Sweden is pretty small. So we opened for their other projects. And long story short, my bass player quit the band, as they seem to do. And...
Filippa's a bass player, right?
No, Filippa's a guitar player.
Oh, okay.
Our bass player name, the bass player we have now is Mona.
Okay.
Demona.
No disrespect to Mona. Sorry.
No, not at all. No, we love her, but it's just a funny part of my history and clearly the Thunder Mother history as well. Like, you know, just like in Spinal Tap, the drummer just...
The drummer,
playing.
Right.
Like,
well, I think they blow up.
In our band, it's the bass player. They just kind of just decide to, like, vanish. I don't know. Anyways, my bass player at that band disappeared, and I contacted Filippa, one of the people that I knew in the business, just to see if she knew someone. And in that conversation, she said that they were having problems, not telling me the whole story that everyone had quit the band, basically. But I threw it out there, being the person that I am. I just like, well, if you ever need a singer, I'm very interested. And then she was like, well, actually, would you like to audition? I was like, hell yeah. And then 2 months passed. I did the audition. I got the gig. And yeah, now we've been a band since 2017.
So what you're telling me, Guernica, is that it was already called Thunder Mother with Filippa, and then you joined them?
Yeah, exactly. Like, Filippa started the band Thunder Mother in 2009. But then she went through, like, several line changes. Like, everyone changed. Like, you know how it is.
Sure.
And she just kept it going by herself. But it was completely different back then. Like, the original idea, I guess, was to be more like a clear AC/DC vibe band, and then when we joined the band, me and the drummer Emily in 2017, we're also songwriters and obviously very creative people, so we all started writing music together, and then that music evolved, so the Thunder Mother sound evolved with that.
I like that.
AC/DC influences, but it's more a mix now because we all come from different backgrounds musically.
Right.
Which I think is fun and interesting.
Influences are one thing, but being organic and really, you know, having some integrity that way means a lot too. Look, we're at the end of the second hour,
yeah.
October 15, 2022 edition. Wapito's special guest, Guernica Thunder Mother. Hold tight for hour three. October 15, 2022, it's the third hour. Watch for Pivo Show.
We'll be right back.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with Thunder Mother, with The Light in the Sky. And then we got some music from the Balkans. Here's from when parts were still called Yugoslavia, a band called Time, with Istina Masina. Really early 70s, you know, organ-based rock out of the Balkans. And then more recent, this still Yugoslavia time, though, this band, Trebakova Kusta Pesci. But then they got back together, so this is from 2015. And Slovenia, huh? Usta Yam Utami, which I get up in the dark. We translated that. They did that for me. Serna Zuk. That's something black, huh? I don't mean to fuck up the language, but I do. Standard de Sovane Ludi. And then, god damn my eyes. Ukledi Dukat with Vlacher Ispod Terpese. Trupa Trupa out of Poland. I think those are both Croatian bands. And then Trupa Trupa out of Poland with Uselessness. Ah, I can barely handle English. And then finally, Thunder Mother. Looks, no hooks. Gerdica, mm-hmm. You ever sing in Swedish?
Not so much. I mean, I would love to do it maybe one day. I mean, obviously, I could do it because I speak the language.
Also Espanol, but, right? Because of Uruguay.
Yeah, I mean, I could do, I mean, honestly, singing in Swedish would probably be easier for me because even though I did speak fluent Spanish as a kid, my Spanish, like, your vocabulary is just not where it used to be. But we did this song in Spanish, and I'm always up to do different things. So who knows? Maybe we'll do a Swedish song in the future or something.
It's okay. You know, I'm thinking of this band. You know this BTS from Korea, South Korea?
Yeah, exactly,
They sing in Hangul, right? How many people speak Hangul except Koreans? But they're the number one band now.
Yeah, I think more about like Rammstein and rock, you know, like they've been able to do the whole thing in German.
That's right, right.
Pretty cool too.
What I'm saying is, you know, maybe it's not so important, you know, lyrics can be like more musical than they are literal as far as like reading a book, you know.
So, I guess so.
And also,
but we also writing in Swedish is, I guess, something. It just feels more like some sort of more like naked or something. You know, like telling a story in English doesn't feel as, I mean, it is personal, but it doesn't, it's still like you have that little shield because of the language differences. But I don't know, maybe eventually we might write something in Swedish.
No, let's talk about how you got, because you were saying before, the reason Thunder Mother kind of evolved from something that was so indebted to its influences was because of the songwriting. What is the process? Do you keep a notebook of lyrics and then, or do you write on demand like Filippo bring you music and here, would you write words to this?
I would say it's a little bit of both. I always try to write down ideas on my notes on my phone, you know, like right. Always try to keep on, like even if it's just a sentence or a theme or a word that I really want to use somehow. I always try to do that. And then when we meet up, because usually we do have like specific, like let's just, you know, we set up times for songwriting and then we all kind of bring whatever we have to the table, you know, at that time. So it could be, you know, a riff or a melody or anything really. And then we just try to bang it out that day.
Let me ask you this. Do you ever make demos for the band yourself?
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, I might sing in like a memo on my phone just to have it, but I like working.
Sure.
I really like working in a group, you know, like writing together is so much more fun for me. For me, when I've written songs on my own, it just takes me forever. Because I don't play an instrument either, so I need someone to write it, you know, to play it for me.
Well, I would say the voice is kind of an instrument. It's probably the first
word
you would
use. It is an instrument, of course, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm not very great at it. Obviously, I can play guitar. I can do like some chords on the piano, but it's so like basic that whatever I come up is like way beyond my skill level. No, but so I need the help of others to get them, you know, out there.
No, let me ask you this. Have you ever come in with the singing first, like a melody line, and say, hey, Philippa, can you make music to this melody I got?
I think it's happened, but not that often. No, okay. Usually they'll play a riff, and then I'll come up with a top line. You know, it's like more like that.
And when does the title come in? Last?
Ooh. Well, that's very different.
I ask that because I always have to, when I do songwriting, I always have to start with the title so I get some focus. So I ask hardly says that. No.
It's really different.
Okay. It's sort of like the bass parts. You know, a lot of people put those on last. I always start with them, maybe because I'm the bass player. Okay, I want to play Borrowed Time, okay?
Lights go out, the show is over. Cut the cord and shut it down. A flashlight shows me off the stage, and I'll wave goodbye.
Oh, All night.
Show last music for this edition. Start off with Thunder Mother doing Borrowed Time, then Low with All Night. I think they're a Duluth band. And the lady there is fighting cancer, so big love. But that, cancer, fuck. Anyway, Yotan got after that with Slow American Movement 2, Part 2, Lento. Then Shiverboard with Creepin' Jennies, and finally, Thunder Mother with Hot Mess, which is interesting English. Hot Mess. That sounds very down home. So, that's bitch. Where, tell me about it.
Tell you about Hot Mess?
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's so funny because that actually started as a word that I had a friend, or I have a friend in that lives in America that she always used to, a friend group that always would say that I'm such a hot mess, or, you know, like being very dramatic. And I just thought it was such a funny expression.
It is.
Being
like it.
So, like, tragic and just being a messy person, which I think everyone could be that sometimes. So I really pushed for that song to be called Hot Mess and to write around that theme.
Now I dig it. And where can people find info about Thunder Mother on the internet? Is there a website?
Yeah, thundermother.com. It's not quite as updated as we would want right now, but you can always find stuff on there. But I'd say the Instagram, Thunder Mother Instagram, or Facebook page. We have a TikTok too. It's Thunder Mother Official. So you can find stuff.
There's probably links at the thundermother.com site. You probably have links to all those commercial sites, so people can go there and get to them there.
Yeah.
But you'll update it when you can. Now you got 3 more gigs with Scorpions, and then what do you do?
Then we go back home to Sweden, and we have this TV appearance in Sweden that we're going to do. And then we have 2, like, mini cruises that we're playing. Actually, that one of them is just me. I'm doing this, like, all-star thing.
Mini cruise? You mean on a boat?
Yeah, on a boat. It goes from Stockholm to Åland. It's just over the night, and it's, like, a rock theme cruise, mini cruise thing.
Kind of like a ferry.
Get, like, really drunk.
Kind of like
a
fairy.
Yeah, exactly. It's more like a fairy, to be completely honest. But yeah, we're doing that. And then I'm releasing my solo single in November, so I'm excited about that. So
wow.
Yeah, this is a little bit, yeah.
Your solo single.
Here and there happening.
Who plays on it?
Yeah.
Is it the Thunder Mother people or different people?
Different people, actually. I mean, I'm doing more of a pop rock thing. But Emily, the drummer, is one of the songwriters on this song, so there's always someone involved, you know?
Oh, man. I wish you the best of luck with that, and with the Thunder Mother stuff, and with the cruise ship kicks, all that. And thank you so much for being on the show, truly, and I wish you tons.
Thank you for having me.
Buttloads of success, please. Okay.
Thank you.
What's the word? Talk. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. People, it's been October 15, 2022. And it's hard to say. 2022 edition of Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.